In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
Van harte welkom bij de laatste aflevering in de maand oktober van Hour of Power. De R is in de maand en dat betekent dat we extra vitamine moeten innemen. En ik hoop dat dit ook een vitamine shot is. Niet vitamine C, maar vitamine G en L van geloof en van liefde. En daarover spreekt Bobby ook in Shepherd Grove, over lopen op water en vertrouwen. En dan veel muziek. Sing It to the Nations zingt het koor en Tim Timmons zingt God is Good. En dan hebben we als gasten twee jonge ondernemers die hier een prijs wonnen voor hun beste product. En dat doen ze niet alleen omdat ze geld willen verdienen, integendeel omdat ze Bijbelse principes willen toepassen. Welkom bij Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
And welcome, welcome, church family. Thank you for being here this morning. There's a quote that says, there is no greater connector of souls than absolute abandonment to vulnerability. Today, you are brave enough to connect deeply by being vulnerable with those you love. Would you turn around and shake the hand of the person next to you? And say, God loves you, and so do I.
Well, we're so glad you're here today, and whatever you're bringing into this place, we're glad that you're going to leave it here. All that heavy burden, stress, and all the stuff that's getting you down, it's a fresh week. You get a new start. Today, we're going to go into our week with rest. We're going to honor the name of Jesus Christ, and we're going to go into this week with the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God's called us to do. Do you believe it?
Amen.
So we're ready. So welcome to Shepherd's Grove. We're so glad you're here. This is a church that only loves people. We actually like people too, and we're so glad you're here. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for gathering us in your house. Lord, we thank you that when we're rooted in your community, you give us power, you give us life. Lord, we're just coming here, many of us with heavy burdens, with wounds, with sin, with challenges, with stress. Lord, we just leave that stuff. And we're going to trade it today for joy. We receive your power, your love, your joy, your refreshment, your renewal. We're going to Sabbath with you today. We thank you, Lord. You are so, so good to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, let me see your glory. Our Jesus, let me see your glory.
preparation for Bobby's message, the words of our Lord found in Matthew. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. May we be brave. May we be risk takers for our God.
Today we get to talk to Tim Timmons, a worship leader and a man of God doing awesome things in the church. He also has an amazing story about his battle with cancer. Would you please welcome with us Tim Timmons. Hi, Tim. Why don't you just update us, tell us a little bit about your journey with cancer. And
yeah. Well, last time I guess I would have said that 13 years ago I was given 5 years to live. And today I get to sit before you and say that 15 years ago I was given 5 years to live, which is pretty great math.
Yeah.
Yeah, I often say, and I probably said this last time, that cancer is not my story. Like, what a silly story if cancer is my story, or whatever you're walking through right now. If that is your story, that's a troublesome story, right? But it's the perspective that we get when we walk through sorrow and calamity and pain that is the real story of, like, what if Jesus is actually real and actually at work in the midst of our stuff? I woke up today, right? You woke up today, right? Just for fun, raise your right hand, please. And repeat after me. I woke up today.
I woke up today.
Okay, so Jesus, his great invitation to us is, you guys, don't worry about tomorrow. That's not yours to, I mean, go ahead if that's what you want to do, but it's not worth it. And just hang out today. You woke up today. That's perspective, right?
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
So, I think I woke up today. I mean, that is the great gift of the fact that, you know, I think you and I grew up as pretty varsity American Christians. You know, we were awesome at what we did. We knew the thing.
That's right.
But then all of a sudden when Jesus apprehended our hearts,
Yeah. And
the only thing Jesus talks about, which you talk about all the time, because it's what Jesus talks about, is the availability of the kingdom of God, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because of that, it's this new perspective of going, oh, I'm not the king anymore. He's always at work everywhere. And it just changes. I think when we walk through our lives, it's like my daughter prayed for me before I went on tour somewhere. She said, Jesus, would you be with Daddy as he goes out on tour? Totally. I was like, she's heard me pray that prayer a million times. Jesus, would you, it's like me saying right now, Jesus, would you be with us today as we gather? And he's like, yeah, I'll hang out with you today. No, that's absurd. That's an absurd prayer that I taught my daughter. He's always at work, always present, always. Emmanuel, God with us, is not just December 25th. It's all year round. So the idea of perspective of like, no, Jesus, not would you be with us. You are with us. Where are you at work in my situation? I want to join you in it. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So music is your thing then. What do you hope your music does then?
I hope it invites people into a revolution. I hope it moves believers about Jesus to become followers of Jesus. And I started a blog a few months back called 10,000minutes.com. And every day I'm writing on it, because there are 10,080 minutes in a week. Just trust me or Google it. And 80 of those minutes are in a room like this, which is awesome. Keep gathering, church. But there are 10,000 other minutes during the week, right? So I want to be found living and encouraging people in the 10,000 minutes. How does this invite us to actually follow Jesus and represent him all week long? So that's what I get most excited about. Music just happens to put me in front of a lot of people. So
that's awesome, Tim. Yeah. Well, we love and appreciate you, and you really do believe in the kingdom of God, and it totally emanates from your life.
Thanks,
and today we're actually going to be talking about taking risks and about having courage, and so it's so perfect that you're here. I mean, the timing is just totally from God. So you're going to lead us in some music today, and I just want to remind everybody, check out the 10,000, what is it, website again?
10,000minutes, 10,000minutes.com.
Okay, 10,000minutes.
Yeah. Or 10 million, right.
Cool, yeah. Great. Thank you, Tim, and let's give him a hand of welcome. He's going to play for us and guide us, Lord. Thank you. All right. Thank you.
En dat was zanger Tim Timmons en hij zong God is Good. En hij kreeg zelfs de hele gemeente zover om met hem mee te zingen. Wat is nou goed en wanneer ben je de beste? En ga je er soms voor om de beste van allemaal te zijn? Nou, het jonge echtpaar wat hier op de bank zit, die weet over mee te praten. Wouter en Larissa van der Haar. Goedemorgen, vrienden.
Goedemorgen.
Jullie ruiken er niet naar, maar jullie hebben alles met friet te maken. En dat is natuurlijk een favoriet gerecht van de Nederlanders. Jullie zijn in Ermelo een frietzaak begonnen. En dit jaar werd dat via het Algemeen Dagblad, die elk jaar een friettest doet, de beste frietzaak van Nederland. Van 150 uitgekozen zaken waren jullie de allerbeste. Hoe doe je dat?
Ja, hoe doe je dat? Ja, het geheim is wel om te gaan voor kwaliteit natuurlijk. Ja, en waar zit de kwaliteit hem in? Dat zit vooral in dat we het echt helemaal verse friet maken. Dus dat betekent dat we aardappels binnenkrijgen en dat we daar zelf friet van gaan maken. Dus er komt geen fabriek aan te pas, geen heel proces met conservering en dergelijke. Dus we doen echt helemaal ouderwets eigenlijk.
Ja, is dat in de keuken te snijden?
Ja, nu niet meer, maar in het begin deden we het wel. Ja. En vooral hebben we thuis geoefend, vooral Wouter dan. En om dan precies de juiste temperatuur en de juiste dikte van de friet en alles uit te zoeken. Dus dat deden we bij ons op het balkon. Dus Wouter was er helemaal druk mee voordat we open gingen.
Ja, wat leuk. En dan win je het ook. Je bent nog maar net begonnen. Er zijn frietzaken die al heel lang bestaan en jullie krijgen de topprijs. Zullen we even kijken naar een paar beelden?
Ja.
Eén de beste zijn. En waar anders dan in Ermelo, met de Ermeloze frietzaak. Wij zijn daar als Ermelo, als gemeentebestuur van Ermelo en u als inwoners en betrokken natuurlijk bijzonder trots op. En ik wil u vragen om daarvoor te applaudisseren.
Je ziet nu door heel Nederland de beweging dat besloten wordt om met verse producten te gaan werken. En hier is een prachtig voorbeeld daarvan. Van een zaak waar voor verse producten wordt gekozen om de hoogste kwaliteit aan de klanten te kunnen bieden.
De jury is er echt glashelder over. Absolute topfriet met als enige het cijfer 10.
Wat gaat er dan door je heen?
Ja, eerst is het haast niet te geloven, want ik kan me nog precies herinneren dat mijn broer die had me een appje gestuurd we hebben de AD-test gewonnen. Alleen op dat moment zat ik nog in de afronding van een heel belangrijk gesprek en ik kon het gesprek niet onderbreken of zo. Dus ik dacht, er ging van alles door me heen, maar ik kon gewoon even niet op dat moment het gesprek onderbreken. Dus nou ja, goed, daarna zaten we in de auto en toen zei ik tegen Larissa, ja, je gelooft niet wat ik net op mijn telefoon heb gelezen, maar we hebben de AD-friettest gewonnen. Dus ja, we waren helemaal door het dol heen en we zijn meteen naar de zaak gereden en daar was dus ook iemand van het AD. En die vertelde ons het nieuws dat we dus gewonnen hadden. En die kwam ons voorbereiden op hetgene wat komen ging. Ja, we konden het eigenlijk niet echt geloven in eerste instantie.
En dat was een stormloop op jullie zaak. Lange rijen voor de deur, allerlei mensen die het wilden proberen. Jullie proberen zaken te doen volgens de koninkrijksprincipes. Dus zaken te doen zoals God het wil en bedoeld heeft. Hoe doe je dat?
Ja, hoe doen we dat? Nou ja, dat is inderdaad iets wat we heel bewust proberen te doen. Dus echt Gods principes inzetten in de zaak. Nou ja, iets belangrijks iets wat we aan het ontdekken zijn, eigenlijk hoe dat vooral kan, is vooral ook over hoe ga je met je personeel om. Want wij dachten eerst van nou, als je hier een frietzaak begint in je dorp, dan heb je allemaal leuke gesprekken met je klanten en dergelijke. Maar omdat wij zo druk zijn met het bedrijf, hebben we daar eigenlijk niet zoveel tijd voor. Waar we wel heel veel contact mee hebben en waar je ook wel een unieke band mee heb, is je personeel. Een werkgever en werknemerband is wel een bijzondere band waarop je toch op een bepaalde manier inspraak hebt in iemands leven.
Altijd aardig, nou, altijd een goed salaris.
Dat zit hem denk ik vooral in bijvoorbeeld ook hoe we met elkaar omgaan. Een tijdje geleden ontdekten we bijvoorbeeld dat er in het team dat er wel wat gepraat werd onderling over elkaar en dergelijke. En wij geloven bijvoorbeeld niet dat dat goed is om te doen. Dus wat hebben we gedaan? Een meeting met elkaar belegd en we zijn met elkaar gaan zitten. Maar dan zitten we niet met de Bijbel op tafel, dan gaan we geen preek houden. Alleen wel met gewoon hedendaagse taal vertellen we wat wij geloven. Ja. En proberen we dat te veranderen en eigenlijk daarin Gods principe neer te leggen.
Ja, wat is voor jou geloof, Larissa?
Ja, gewoon echt een relatie hebben met God. En ook dat uit te dragen en wakker te maken bij andere mensen. Ja. Dat is iets...
Wouter, je bent opgegroeid en dan zit je nog op de Bijbelbelt van Nederland. Die loopt van Zeeland over de Veluwe Friesland in. Dus een zeer gelovig jochie toen je opgroeide. En op een gegeven moment heb je, eigenlijk net als heel veel jongeren, en dat vind ik boeiend om over te praten, je gezegd, ik ga niet meer naar de kerk. Waarom was dat?
Ja, het was mij met de paplepel ingegoten en ik geloofde eigenlijk ook altijd wel in God. Alleen op een gegeven moment kwam dan de fase van, nou ja, je wordt volwassen en ja... Eigenlijk ging het geloof mij meer tegenstaan. Ondanks dat ik wel in God geloofde, ging het me tegenstaan.
Waarom?
En had ik geen zin meer om naar de kerk te gaan. Omdat ik het idee had dat als ik christen zou zijn, dat ik een saai leven zou hebben. En dat als ik echt zou doen wat de Bijbel zegt, dat een saai, niet uitdagend leven zou zijn. Dat is denk ik de belangrijkste reden geweest waarom het me tegen ging staan. Ja.
En toen ging je het zoeken in?
Toen ging ik het zoeken in hele andere dingen. Dus toen had ik een vriendengroep en dan ging ik veel mee stappen. Het leven stond vooral in het teken van
toch wel
van
redelijk feesten en beesten.
Ja.
Je wordt ook DJ. Je gaat lekker erop los in discotheken.
Ja, ik was in de lokale discotheek was ik inderdaad DJ en in een kroeg. Dus ja, ik zat wat dat betreft inderdaad helemaal in het uitgaansleven.
Op een gegeven moment kwam er een leegte in je leven.
Ja, dan word je weer nog wat ouder en misschien nog iets volwassener. En op een gegeven moment ontdek je toch van, ja, is dit het nou? En je merkt wel van, nou ja, hier, er ontbreekt toch iets in deze levensstijl. Is dit nou echt waarvoor ik gemaakt ben, als het ware? Is dit het hoogst haalbare? En ja, dan ontstaat er toch weer een vraagteken eigenlijk. En ben ik weer een zoektocht beland van, ja, wat wil ik nou echt? En welke richting wil ik nou echt op met mijn leven? En toen ben ik, op een gegeven moment was ik in een doopdienst van mijn jongere broer, die werd gedoopt. En mensen vertelden daar getuigenissen over waarom ze zich laten dopen, dat ze op een bepaalde manier God hebben leren kennen. En dat raakte me wel. Dat ik dacht van ja, eigenlijk die zoektocht die ik wel ook een beetje aan wil gaan, daar zijn we daar een antwoord op gevonden. Dus zo ben ik ook op de Alpha cursus terechtgekomen. En heb ik daar de hele Alpha cursus gevolgd. En uiteindelijk heb ik gedurende die Alpha cursus heb ik ook voor mezelf eigenlijk het antwoord op die vraag gevonden. Van ja, God is voor mij het belangrijkste en ik wil hem achterna, hem centraal stellen in mijn leven. Ja.
Heel veel jongeren worstelen met die vragen. Die komen zichzelf tegen. Die groeien net als jij gelovig op en zeggen dan op een gegeven moment, nou heb ik het wel gehad, nou heb ik het wel gezien. Toch?
Ja, je ziet dat veel meer, ja. Ik denk dat het ook te maken heeft met het beeld wat mensen van de kerk hebben. Hè. Dus dat inderdaad dat een geloof, of dat een leven als christen, als gelovige, dat saai is en dat je vooral heel veel dingen niet mag. Alleen uiteindelijk zien we niet van hè, dat die regels als het ware, dat die eigenlijk juist heel goed zijn voor je om na te leven. Maar de kerk heeft in het verleden denk ik veel met het vingertje gestaan van dit mag niet en dat mag niet en zo mag niet en zo mag niet. Alleen we hebben niet goed de waarde laten zien van waarom die principes er zijn. En als je dat ontdekt en als je dat echt inziet, dan weet je dat het juist een veel rijker leven is om volgens die principes te leven.
Waar haal je dat uit de Bijbel?
Een heel eenvoudig principe wat iedereen kent is van heb je naaste lief als jezelf. Ik denk dat je dat in het zakelijk gebied, dat je dat ook heel goed toe kan passen. Dat je altijd kijkt van hoe kunnen we allebei beter ervan worden. Dus niet alleen kijken naar hoe je zelf beter wordt van een overeenkomst die je met elkaar hebt. Maar van hoe worden we hier allebei beter van en hoe kunnen we ervoor zorgen dat we allebei hierop vooruit gaan.
Wat is jullie hoogste doel in het leven, Larissa?
Ja, wij willen graag een landgoed willen we graag hebben. En daarin dat we ook verschillende mensen kunnen opvangen. Dat is eigenlijk onze droom. We willen eigenlijk meerdere ondernemingen hebben om dat ook te kunnen doen.
Ja, wat daar eigenlijk achter zit, om dat aan te vullen, is van de grote opdracht is maak discipelen van alle volken. Dus dat betekent eigenlijk dat je invloed hebt in een maatschappij en dat je ja, mensenlevens ook verandert. En dat is eigenlijk wat we het liefst willen zien, is dat door onze inzet dat mensenlevens aangeraakt worden en dat ze daarin iets van God zien.
Tomeloos energiek zijn jullie, want jullie hebben niet alleen de beste fietszaak van Nederland, maar ook nog een aantal webwinkels. En zo zijn jullie volop bezig om je droom straks waar te maken, om mensen op te vangen die het niet meer zien zitten. En nou, daar wens ik je heel veel zegen bij en succes. We gaan overigens nog terug naar Sri Lanka, hè, waar jij vanuit geadopteerd bent. Ja. Ook daar nog wat mooie dingen doen, maar een leven vol idealen. Fantastisch. Ik geef jou, Larissa, deze agenda van Our Power. Dan kun je alle afspraken erin schrijven. En voor jou, bekijk de wereld door Gods ogen van Bobby Schuller.
Dankjewel.
Vrienden, hartelijk dank en heel veel zegen. En als ik in Ermelo kom, dan kom ik me melden voor een video.
Dan zien we je graag.
Oké, ja.
Als tiener, als puber, in die wilde jaren, was ik totaal niet bezig met wat God was. Ik het leuker vond om juist de spanning op te zoeken in hetgeen wat niet mocht, dan braaf hetgene te doen wat wel mocht. Maar helaas ben ik iemand die daarin niet snel zijn grenzen heeft gevonden. En ja, dat escaleerde in mijn tienerjaren in overmatig drugsgebruik, criminaliteit. Er kwam verandering in door... Ja, op een gegeven moment mijn grenzen tegen te komen. Mijn grens in een crimineel leven was een steekpartij die me mijn leven bijna kostte. En, waar ik echt werd stilgezet van oké, als ik hiermee doorga, dan haal ik de 20 niet. Ik kwam eigenlijk op mijn 23ste weer door Hour of Power, door de buis, tot mijn hart. En toen zei ik oké, God, kom maar dan. Laat me zien wie u bent, want ik kan niet meer. Ja, doordat zijn liefde in mijn leven kwam, is alles zo veranderd. En ja, heb ik vrede mogen vinden en een doel in alles wat ik doe om het met hem te doen. Ik geloof in liefde, omdat God liefde is. En ik heb God mogen ervaren in mijn leven. Ik heb hem mogen ervaren in genezing van mijn pijn van binnen, van de onrust die ik in mijn leven had. Ik hoop dat de kijker van Hour of Power ja, vindt wat ik ook ooit heb mogen vinden en wat zoveel hebben gevonden. En dat is dat God er is, dat hij van ze houdt. Het verlangen krijgen om die God toe te laten in hun levens. Ik ben Marco van den Berg en ik geloof in liefde.
So welcome to you. We're so glad that you are watching with us today, and we believe that God has a word for you. If you're ever in Orange County or LA, come down to Shepherd's Grove and worship for us. We have a seat all warmed up just for you. So come down. We'd love for you to be here. Friends, would you hold your hands out like this as a sign of both giving and receiving? And we're going to say this creed together. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. Thanks. You can be seated. Well, today we are continuing our conversation on faith. Our series is called A Simple Guide to Walking on Water. And I just know that whatever it is that you're facing in life, you need faith. Today, I want to talk about, one, yeah, that you don't have to worry, that things are going to be okay, and more than anything, to not just settle for whatever you currently have, but to dream and to think bigger. That faith is not just praying for what you need, it's praying for what you want. Faith is saying that maybe this is what I have right now, but God has something bigger. So if you hear anything I say today, it's this. Take a risk for God. Take a risk for God. To walk by faith and become the kind of person whose vision is framed by what God wants. That I'm going to do things that are big enough to say, only God could do something that awesome. That amazing. I am going to take a risk for the Lord. You know, very often when we get comfortable in life, I am convinced God likes to take us to scary places. God doesn't like us being all that comfortable. He doesn't like it when we get stuck in the ruts. When I was a kid, I had big fear of water, and that's a problem growing up in the summer, especially here in Southern California. And I remember once I was at the beach with my parents and a couple of my friends, and the waves were particularly big that day, and I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. I was still a kid, but I saw all my other, you know, friends going out in the water, and they were swimming, and they were having a good time, and they were getting beat up by the waves. And I was just sitting going, oh, that's interesting. And my dad goes, go out there and play with them. And I said, oh, that's, you know, I'm all right. And my dad's like, well, they're having fun without you. They're asking you to go out there. Go out and play with them. I'm like, Dad, I'm fine. He goes, you're scared of those waves, aren't you? It's like, I am not scared of those humongous waves. And without a word, this makes my dad sound like such a jerk. He's not. He's a sweet guy. Without a word, he was working out then too. I want to say he was 36 and his biceps were like, he reaches over and, like, just with one arm, grabs me like this, and slowly, which is torture, you know? Like, as soon as he comes close, I try to get up to get away because I know it's going to happen, and just with one slow arm, just takes me like this and starts walking towards the water. like, you know, Goliath or something. And I'm going, no, God, no! I'm totally, like, this is not an exaggeration, full on screaming, clawing. I'm trying to go for his eyes. He's holding me like this. And these waves, at the time, I felt like they were 10 feet higher. They're probably a foot. But anyway, he's taking me into the water. And he's like, all right, here's what you got to do. Here comes a big one. You got to dip underwater when it comes. And I'm like, no, please, no. And then the wave comes and he goes, just like, you know, some kind of a Superman, like right into the wave. And I just get nailed by this wave. And he goes, all right, are you okay? I'm like, no, I hate you. And he goes, okay, here comes another one. And this keeps happening over and over until finally he's like, just watch, this is what you do. And he just walked me through it. And he stayed with me, holding me with his big, big arms and his big, you know, burly man. And he just said, we're going to stay here until you're not afraid of these waves anymore. And that's exactly what happened. And by the time we finished, I was not that afraid of waves anymore. You know? But it really helped. And this is an analogy, I think, to what God and his fatherliness, you know, God, it's important that we don't align a gender to God, because God's not a man, as the scriptures teach us, but there is definitely this fatherliness to God where he will challenge and push and bring us into places that we're not always comfortable going so that we can grow. You know, there is something about a nagging fear, like a looming fear that you never have to face, that in its own way is very painful, you know? And so I think that God does this. And what I want to say to you is this. Maybe you're feeling dragged into the ocean. Maybe you're feeling dragged into the waves. But God is teaching you how to be the kind of person to abide rough waters. You don't feel strong enough now to endure what you're going through, but you are. God is showing you and proving to you that you don't have to be afraid of waves, that you have everything you need to endure the storm. You do. You have it. You have everything you need to endure the storm. And God is not the kind of God that throws you into the ocean. He walks in with you. He carries you. He makes sure that you feel those everlasting arms when those waves are coming. Do you feel them? No matter what you're going through, you're not alone. And I want you to know it's going to be okay. And you can live with faith for today. And you can keep taking risks. And you can keep doing great things for God. And you'll thrive. The scripture reading today was a famous one about actually walking on water. And it was the passage about Peter walking on water. And if you've been to this church at all, you know this. That in Judaism, especially in the first century, when Jesus said, follow me, to follow a rabbi didn't mean to just go where the rabbi goes. It meant to do what the rabbi does. If you were called to be a disciple of a rabbi, you were being trained to be a rabbi yourself. You can actually see this today in Orthodox Judaism. If you go to Jerusalem, you will actually see an older rabbi and a bunch of younger boys in their teens following behind him, doing everything that he does. And in Jesus' day, to follow a rabbi meant to do everything the rabbi does. So if the rabbi writes left-handed, you need to learn to write left-handed. If the rabbi tells jokes, you need to start telling jokes. They would literally, like if there would be footprints in the sand, they would step sometimes in the actual footprints of their rabbi. So they were trying to become clones of the rabbi that they were following. And this is the most important thing to note. That for rabbis in Jesus' day, disciples were intended to do all the things the rabbi did. And the reason this matters is you start to see in the Gospels, these young men who are following Jesus, all of a sudden, are called to do some pretty crazy things. Like in Luke 9 and 10, he tells them to just go out and start healing people and don't take anything with you. Like, he just says, go heal them. And he gives them all these instructions. Go cast out demons. Go do all this stuff. And they go and do it. And they come back. And he says, were you successful? He said, Lord, even the demons bow in your name. So they begin to do, through the story, all these amazing things. Well, this story of Peter walking on water is just that. It's Peter responding to the idea that disciples are supposed to do what rabbis do. So it was after the feeding of the 5,000, this famous story, Jesus says, I'm going to dismiss everyone now that they've eaten, and I want you to go out on the boat, and I'll meet you out there. I don't know if he says that, but this is certainly what's going to happen. So they go out on the boat. Jesus dismisses everyone, and he goes up on the mountain to pray, and now it's nighttime, and the wind is blowing. It's so important to understand what water means for Jews in the first century, too. For many people back then, there's a mystic quality to water, because wherever you find water, you find life. But there's also a scary thing about water. When there were big bodies of water, they believed, some, that it was actually a gateway to hell. In fact, many people back then not only couldn't swim, but didn't swim because they were afraid of the Leviathan, which was essentially like the Loch Ness Monster. We'll just shoot straight, okay? That there's some kind of Loch Ness Monster in the Sea of Galilee. And that when this sort of monster demon thing gets angry, it starts to swirl up weather and the water. So there's this big looming fear. It's very likely most of these guys, I know it seems crazy because they're fishermen, there's a good chance that they couldn't swim. In fact, I'm willing to bet they couldn't swim. And there was a spiritual dimension that they believed that this big body of water was a gateway to hell. And so they're out on the boat, and Jesus is up on the hill, and the storm starts swirling, and the wind starts blowing. And it says they're not able to get back to shore. They're trying to get back, but the wind is pushing their boat away from the shore. It's nighttime. So they're already freaked out, right? And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus on the water, walking. And they see him, and at first they get totally terrified. They think it's a ghost or a spirit or something. They're about to lose their minds. And Jesus says, oh, it's me, guys. Hey, I'm just walking on water. So they see this miracle. They see Jesus in one of his most famous miracles, walking on water. They all see it. They all write about it. And then, in a way, the more amazing thing happens. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, ask me to come out to you, and I will. And Jesus says, come. Now, here's the amazing thing. Peter gets out of the boat, and he begins to walk on water to Jesus, one step at a time. It's dark. The wind is blowing. The rain is coming down. His friends behind him are watching. What would it feel like, by the way, to get out and start walking on water towards Jesus? I wonder. And so he's walking, and he begins to doubt. He begins to get afraid, and he takes his eyes off of Christ, and he begins to put them on the waves, and he begins to sink. And I picture him sinking slowly, like he's sinking into jello instead of water. I don't know. And the story says that Jesus reaches down and he grabs him. And the scripture says, Jesus says to him, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Do you know what he means there when he's saying, why did you doubt? He's saying, why did you doubt that you could do what I can do? That's exactly right. Everybody that studies the scriptures, that reads the scripture, this is the right way to read this text. Not, you know, why did you doubt in this? It's why did you doubt that you could walk on water just like me? I've called you. I said, come. If I ask you to do something, I'm going to give you everything you need to accomplish it, even if it means walking on water. That if God says, come, walk on water, he's going to give you the shoes you need to walk on water. He's just going to give you what you need to stay afloat. This is faith. So if God says, come, take a risk, get out of the boat. You can do the things Jesus did. He says that, not me. In fact, he says in John chapter 14, greater things than these will you do because I'm going to my Father. I believe that. So why do you doubt? Why do you doubt? So I'm asking you, train your fear into faith by taking a risk for God today. By taking a risk. If you've been knocked down, I want to ask you, have faith and get back up. Because great things are in store for you. You only lose when you decide not to get back up again. Faith is trust, very simply. Faith is trusting God. You need to be a risk taker. You need to be a person of faith to get where you need to go. God's not going to force you to go where you need to go. Sometimes you're going to have to face your fears. Sometimes you're going to have to take a risk. Recently, we went to Holland with my sister Brittany. And this is a perfect story. My sister Brittany is terrified of flying. Terrified. And in fact, it had been years and years since she'd been on a plane. And she'd never been to Europe. And I invited her to go with us on our Holland tour. And finally, she had to face the music. So she got her tickets. She got a passport. And she said for like days before the flight, she couldn't sleep. But she decided, I'm going to get on that plane. And I don't care if I scream, if I pass out. She had a couple glasses of wine. She didn't lie before she took off. But she got on that plane. She got on that plane, and she got to Holland, and she saw old windmills, and she ate cow to cheese and stroop waffles, and saw all these handsome blonde men that were taller than 6'5". And listen, this is a perfect analogy for all of us. I'm so proud of my sister because so much of the human experience is doing things like that. Many of you, you're afraid to go to rehab. Some of you, you're afraid to start dating again. Some of you, you're so embarrassed about your divorce. Some of you, this is maybe your first time back in church, or maybe you're watching on TV, and you were so hurt by religion, you think, I can never be plugged into a church again. Take a risk. Take a risk. Some of you have been wearing a mask for a long time and pretending to be somebody that you're not. I want to encourage you to be authentic, be genuine, take a risk in faith, and watch as you become a happier, fuller person. I just want to finish with this. I actually had a rough day a couple weeks ago, and it was just hard. And so I felt like the Lord called me to the ocean. So I went to the ocean, and it was, you know, getting darker. It was twilight. And there were these waves. And I put on some gym shorts because I didn't have swim trunks. And I just went out into the water to swim. And the water was warm for California, still cool. But I began to just pray. And I was sort of swimming out in the water. And I was remembering as a teenager in college all the times I went surfing and all the fun I'd had. And I began to, you know, began to body surf. I did lose my trunks one time. It was okay. Just put them right back on. But I remember just floating out there in the water, and I remember thinking about God's grace and that living through life is a lot like surfing on grace. You know, grace doesn't mean mercy. You know that, right? Grace doesn't mean mercy. Grace means an overflow of God's favor, power, and love. We've limited it to this thing like, oh, grace means forgiveness. So much more than that. Jesus received grace when he was baptized, not for the forgiveness of sins, but for the empowerment to do what God had called him to do, do what the Father had called him to do. Jesus was God. And so many of us, living life is like surfing on grace. When surfers are out on the water, they're always looking for a wave, you know, and they're always looking for a big wave. And you miss it all the time. Sometimes you're too far out or sometimes you're too far in, but there's always another wave. And sometimes you wipe out, but that just means you weren't ready. You didn't go fast enough or you're not trained enough. But most importantly, the thing you learn when you're surfing is that even if there aren't waves, you're still enjoying it. Because there's something about the gentle rhythm of waves coming in and out that lifts you and drops you. The company of people, the refreshing nature of water itself. And so many of you, you're in life and you've completely wiped out. I just want to say to you, it's okay. Another wave is coming, huh? And know that even as you're just sort of sitting and resting on the water, that grace is sustaining you. Grace is holding you. That whether or not you're surfing or not, there is this, like water, this sustaining nature that no matter where you are not alone. God is holding you, and it will be okay. Some of you have failed miserably recently in some area of your life, and I just want to say to you, just because you fail doesn't mean you're a failure. It just means you haven't succeeded yet. It's going to be okay. And I want to encourage you to become the kind of person that lives in faith, that never quits, and never gives up. God is calling you to do great things for him. So be vulnerable. Take a risk. And be the kind of person that God has called you to be. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
En dat was Bobby Schuller die ons uitnodigde om risico's te nemen. En soms zijn we als de dood om dat te doen en durven niet ons steen in koud water te steken. Maar als je het niet doet, gebeurt er niks. Durf jij het aan, was zijn oproep. En volgende week spreekt hij over het thema Hou vol. Ik vind dat mooie, uitdagende thema's. Hour of Power daagt ook uit. Daagt uit om na te denken, waarvoor ben je hier? Ben ik een product van toeval en tijd of ben ik geboren voor iets meer, iets groters, iets mooiers? En dan zeggen wij, je bent geboren omdat je geliefd bent door God en daarvoor leef je. Wij zenden elke week uit. En dat vind ik heel bijzonder. Al 17 jaar lang. 2 uur op de zondagmorgen. We zoeken 500 donateurs. Weet je wat ik zo leuk vind bij Hour of Power? Heel veel mensen werken vrijwillig mee. Dat doe ik ook. Ik vind het geweldig om te mogen doen. Ook al die anderen die de hooplijn bemannen of op het kantoor werken. En dat doen we omdat we denken dat we iets hebben wat uniek is. Namelijk dat we kunnen zeggen, je bent geliefd. Nou, misschien zit je al heel lang te denken, ik zou Hour of Power wel eens willen steunen. Maar ja, ik kom er niet aan toe. Of dan ga ik een kopje koffie drinken of ik heb andere dingen. Nou, neem die stap vandaag, zou ik willen zeggen. We zijn daar zeer dankbaar voor. En ook voor al die donateurs die ons steunen. Dat was een heel lang verhaal. En ik hoop dat u gevolg geeft aan onze vraag. Ik wens iedereen een hele goede zondag toe. En ik hoop tot volgende week.
Wij hopen dat deze uitzending u heeft bemoedigd. Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power met Bobby Schuller. Blijf in contact met ons via Facebook, onze website of bel ons. In onze webshop vindt u vele prachtige producten die u bemoedigen en inspireren. boodschap van Hour of Power heeft wereldwijd impact op miljoenen mensenlevens. Wij danken de donateurs die het financieel mogelijk maken dat we ook in Nederland elke week te zien zijn op televisie. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.